fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Looking at the AFC home games here on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Jay Ajayi against the best run defense in the NFL. The Raiders passing game against the best pass defense in the NFL. Sharkandrick West gets his audition probably this week. We'll talk about it. Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath. The people want to know, Dave, did you stay up for the whole game?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Good for you.
I've seen a lot of amazing baseball moments in person, and obviously my favorite team has won the World Series, and I think it's kind of ironic that I couldn't stay awake to see that happen, but I managed to stay up to watch that game. I think it might have been one of the best baseball games of all time.
How much did you talk to your dad during the night?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all.
He's a Cubs fan.
And my parents are Cubs fans, yeah. And I'm not, but it was really amazing. My house is quiet as a church mouse at 10:30 at night, and that Davis guy hits the homer, and
that
I yell,
Davis guy.
I yell, holy! I couldn't believe it. I could have woken up the whole house.
Did you just curse?
Yeah, I did.
Oh God,
that's what I said.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I guess we're editing that.
In a while.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome last night.
White's like, what are you doing? Calm down. Come to bed.
Is your dad and are your parents just unbelievable? I don't know any Cubs fans.
I know a ton of Cubs fans. They're elated. They couldn't sleep. I just got a text from one of my best friends. I'll read you the text. Sprung out of bed on 3 hours sleep. I can't conceive of doing even one productive thing at work today or tomorrow.
Oh, that whole city's gonna that whole city's gonna shut down.
We are in rare form.
Yeah, we're tired too, apparently. Yeah, well, we do have a lot of
tonight. It's 9:15 in the morning.
We do have a lot of fantasy football to talk about, and no team goes into the season without a game plan. And Buffalo Wild Wings knows that football fans need a game plan that's built for game day glory, a game plan that should include 21 signature sauces and seasonings, a great lineup of beer taps, and an arsenal of wall-to-wall TVs. All of those details make for a game day game plan that can't be beat. So win or lose, if you're a football fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere around. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, we do it for you because you're a football fan. And yeah, that probably would have been a pretty cool place to be last night.
Yeah, so, somebody kept hitting the Buffalo Wild Wings button last night during the game.
Oh,
the
keeping rain, it going, yeah.
Rain delay and that Davis guy hitting the home run.
Yeah. And we had a Twitter poll. I had a Twitter poll last night. Dave Richard will stay awake for blank innings. I think I posted this in like the eighth inning. 9, 10, 11, or more than 11. And 9 innings won by 35% of the vote, but more than 11 got 34% of the vote. So people did have faith in you, Dave, and you came through.
I did.
Good for you.
Hooray. And look at what you're getting. You're getting a cursing, salty.
I wonder what the answer would have been, though, because you were tweeting. So I wonder, if people didn't see you.
I almost think that if I didn't tweet, no one would believe me. You definitely would not believe me.
I would have believed you said you're.
Or you'd start quizzing me. Who hit the game tying home run
the
for the
guy?
Davis guy.
I'd be like, Dave, what's his face? Roger Davis. That's what
Roger
I would have said.
Roger Davis. And I, of course, continue to be a jinx on the Vikings as Norv Turner stepped down as Minnesota's offensive coordinator.
Some of those tweets after that happened were hysterical.
Yeah, by the way, you were a jinx on the Cubs too last night. Let's not gloss over this.
Dude, that was really funny.
You're assuming the Cubs were going to win, and then that home run happened, and even I laid into you. That was not right. You are absolutely a jinx.
I said, they were up by 3, and I said, if the Cubs win the World Series, who wins MVP? Because it was not clear at all.
Nope.
And then, of course, they gave up 3 runs.
Zobrist.
Zobrist won, yeah.
You know him.
I know him because we've had him on our fantasy team before.
All right, let's get down to business here.
You guys are laughing at me like I'm some sort of idiot because I don't watch baseball.
No, not at all.
Never mind. Can we talk football now?
Yeah, let's talk football. Let's talk football.
So I don't feel so inadequate.
Well, what's the impact of Pat Shurmur taking over for Norv Turner at Minnesota?
hopefully it's good for Sam Bradford. Those guys have a long history together. They were together in St. Louis. They were together.
Those guys being Bradford and Pat Shurmur, who's taken over.
They
right?
were together in St. Louis. They were together in Philadelphia. And Shurmur took over for Chip Kelly last year when the offense, specifically Bradford and Zach Ertz, started getting going. So you got to hope that that's good for Kyle Rudolph. But unless he brings, you know, an offensive line with him, it's going to still be the same situation.
All right. T.Y. Hilton may not be able to play due to a hamstring injury. They're at Green Bay. And I got an email from Corey. A flex question. Austin Hooper or T.Y. Hilton? Who would you go with?
Oh, I'd wait out Hilton.
I would wait out Hilton
100%
and cut Hooper so that you've got somebody that you can turn to off waivers. So say you drop him for Kenny Britt sitting on waivers, who actually isn't a bad play this week.
Yep.
I don't mind Kenny Britt. You could pick up Kenny Britt, and it could be anybody. You can always just have that right to go back to waivers and find somebody else. Once you have Hooper on your team and he plays on Thursday, that spot's you're stuck, locked yeah. up. You're stuck.
Here's an interesting one, because Chester Rogers is back to practice. If Hilton doesn't go, does Dorsett, who also got hurt in that, at the end of the game last week, do you trust Dorsett or do you trust Chester Rogers in a deep, deep, deep league?
I'd probably go with Rogers. He's actually like doing things.
He seems to have more trust
yeah.
from Andrew Luck. That's kind of the way I was leaning, is that Dorsett's just been such a...
I just feel like whoever that other receiver is going to get locked into four catches for 40 yards.
Yeah, well, that might be better than Hooper, but you got to take the
downgrade
chance.
Hooper's scoring tonight,
that's
dude.
The case.
Well, you got to take the chance. I think the other thing I was going to recommend for this owner and for any owner, if you're desperate for a tight end, let me know what you guys think. Virgil Green got 6 targets last week.
That's not bad.
We're talking Lance tight Kendricks. Ends.
You know? Kendricks is better because he's taking on Carolina.
Yep, and he's every other game he scores touchdowns.
All right, so those are some options. Do not go with Hooper in this particular case. The Colts also have 2 injuries on their offensive line and 2 injuries in their secondary, including Vontae Davis, but... You know, the offensive line's banged up. They might not have T.Y. Hilton. How nervous are you about Andrew Luck this week?
I mean, if Hilton's out, then Heath was about to say that before you steamrolled him with your talk. Andrew Luck would have to be downgraded because, look, I think if he goes in with Hilton and Moncrief and, you know, maybe getting Dwayne Allen back and having his weapons at his full disposal in a game where they're probably chasing points, you got to like Andrew Luck's chances to be a good fantasy quarterback. But if he doesn't have Hilton, that's a problem.
Heath, how do you feel about Frank Gore this week?
Very conflicted.
Well, you know what, Jay? Let's talk about that a little bit later, Heath, okay? Let's move on here.
This is some
This is going to be a long edit for me. Jacquizz Rodgers out for tonight's game. They have the Falcons tonight. So you can answer this one, Heath. This is from Mark from your favorite New Jersey pizza joint. Let's just say Anthony's. Should I start both Saints running backs over Peyton Barber tonight or Rashad Jennings on Sunday?
I think I would. I mean, if we got some clarity from the Saints over who was going to get the ball, I would maybe, like, if they say for sure we're going back to Ingram, I might start Jennings over Hightower. But I'm starting both those guys over Barber.
I like the fact that we haven't heard Hightower's the guy. I like that.
All we've heard is
because
he's
that means
earned
that he's
a bigger
not.
Role.
So, all right, let's ballpark it. Let's say they have 20 carries. Let's just, because they're going to.
Wow, the Niners are going to keep it close.
Well, I mean, they don't typically have. A ton of.
Well, okay. Carries. All right.
So he had 26 carries last week. Hightower, 26. So let's say 26 carries for their 2 running backs.
Okay.
What's the number for each guy you feel comfortable with? In
16,
this game?
Ingram, 10, Hightower.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
To start them, I'm saying. Not what they're going to get. Like, what, if you say Ingram's getting 16 carries, obviously you're starting him. You say Hightower's getting 10 carries, you're starting him in that matchup.
I think he could get you 50 rushing yards on 10 carries against this Niners defense. Yeah. They're allowing over 6 yards per carry. The last 2 games, and they can't stack the box.
And that's not great, but it might take Rashad Jennings 20 carries to get 50
right.
yards.
Right. Benny Logan practiced. I mean, the fact is, you're looking at some of these running back options. I don't trust Peyton Barber at all. Rashad Jennings has been terrible all year. I'd rather take my chances with both Saints running backs.
Yep.
In this scenario, yes.
Right. Yeah.
I think the Jennings one is the close one because he still should get some carries.
I actually think the Barber one is the closer one because really? I think he's going to be the running downs guy for Tampa Bay. I don't know how long that's going to last. It's going to come down to Atlanta and how fast they decide to at least for me, speed against the Bucks D.
I would take the certainty of I know Rashad Jennings is going to get carries over not knowing what Barber's role.
Yeah, but I've seen Jennings get carries before, and it's not pretty.
So who's your favorite Bucks running back tonight?
Anton Smith.
Okay. Let's see. CJ Procise is going to get more involved, according to Pete Carroll. Procise is 37% owned. Precisely 37% owned. and Mike Mularkey wants to get Derrick Henry more involved. He's 78% owned. That will depend on game flow, though, apparently.
Could depend on a certain running back that he plays behind.
Yeah. Well, kind of interesting, though. San Diego, that's their opponent this week. San Diego, teams pass on them. They've seen, I think, the fifth most pass attempts and the third fewest rush attempts, or I might have that flipped. But I think Tennessee's going to test that. But in terms of Procise and Henry, do you think these guys are going to be fantasy relevant, fairly often going forward?
It's all going to come down to the health of the running backs in front of them. And I think it's harder for Procise than it is for Henry. Henry's got one guy in front of him. That's DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, but the difference is, for Procise at least, he has a role.
Right, and I don't think that
Michael's healthy.
So what will it take for him to expand on that role?
You don't think
role?
Michael's healthy?
I said he has a role even if Michael is healthy.
Even, I'm sorry.
Henry needs Murray to get hurt.
Right.
Or he needs to randomly score a touchdown.
I think they're both too random.
That's
but I think possible. This week they could both get a little extra work.
Last week we did see Procise get up to, 32% of the snaps?
Did he get that many?
He took a lot of snaps.
They were chasing points, though. So
I don't.
And he also had a lot of his yards on a trick play.
I just think between the way we've heard the Seattle coaches talk about their running game,
which you're believing,
which I'm believing,
you shouldn't.
Then the snap disparity we saw last week shrinking. I'm just interested to see what happens this week. If that trend continues,
is the question of who you want more to own?
Oh, I'd rather have Henry.
Yeah,
because of the potential.
Yeah,
because if Murray goes down, he could be a number one back.
Oh, for sure.
I will say this. We have noted how tough that schedule is getting for Seattle down the stretch, which means they could be trailing in a lot of games. Maybe that does put Procise on the field a little bit more. So in PPR leagues where he's still available on the waiver wire, you should probably make a move, dude.
Cool. Ben Roethlisberger was limited in practice, but looks like he's going to play at Baltimore, and Nick Foles will start for Kansas City this week, and we will preview that game. Just want to tell our listeners about some really awesome things. We have a lot of new podcasts out there. We have these live video shows on CBSSports.com every day, Monday through Friday. We have Pro Football Rundown, College Football Rundown. We've got the Jonah Carey Baseball Show, which is on Fridays. We got Writer Than You with our lead national columnist, Bill Ryder. All the audio for those shows, they are syndicated now in iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn, anywhere that you want to listen to a podcast. Not all of them are in Google Play. But if you want to learn more about our podcast, and if you want some NFL picks every week, the Thursday episode of the Roughing the Passer podcast is awesome. Please check that out. Go to cbssports.com/podcast to learn how to subscribe. We have Eye on Fantasy Football, our Saturday night radio show at 10 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Radio until midnight. It's a call-in show, and it's awesome. And Dave, you want to talk about Draftmaster, a very fun new thing that we've been doing here at cbssports.com.
It's a new way to play fantasy football where it combines aspects of the seasonal game with the daily game. You basically pick a new team each week against your friends. You do get to keep up to three players, and then you hold a draft every single week, and you do it on your phone. You don't have to run home to your computer. It tells you when you're up, and you make the pick, and it's fun, and you don't have to set a lineup. Your best players are who you automatically get credit for. Draftmasters, you can download the app on iTunes.
Cool. Let's talk about some of the intriguing matchups for Fantasy Week 9 in the AFC home games. Jay Ajayi against the Jets run defense. So Jamie has Ajayi 6th. Dave has him 10th. Heath has Ajayi 8th. He's rushed for 200 yards in his last two games, but only two catches for 5 yards in those games. And I bring that up because the Jets have allowed double-digit fantasy points to a running back on rushing totals alone. Only once this year, and that was David Johnson who had that big game. So how confident? I mean, obviously it reflects in your rankings, but let's just talk about it, guys. How confident are you in Jay Ajayi this week?
Let's rule out 200 yards because I don't think that's happening. And I don't know that 100 yards is happening. But if you were to tell me 70 yards and a touchdown, I could see it happening. And that would make him a number one fantasy running back this week. It is a difficult matchup for him. He does have the benefit of working behind a big offensive line. And that offensive line is also going to be able to protect Tannehill, give Tannehill a chance to throw, so the Jets just can't always stack the box against Ajayi. And even though Ajayi was, yeah, one catch in those last two games.
Combined 2 for 5 yards.
So even though we haven't really seen it in those last two games, he can catch the football. And maybe that's something the Dolphins deploy a little bit in this game. Use the screen pass and some dump off passes and let him work out of the backfield as a receiver. Remember, no Arian Foster anymore.
I would just say
Foster has 3 catches in those two games with Ajayi Bray blowing up.
Bad as the running backs are this week, it doesn't really matter how confident I am in Jay Ajayi. I mean, he's a must start, but I feel less confident in where I'm ranking Jay Ajayi than maybe any other running back. Like, I could rank him 4th. I could rank him 15th. It's such a weird situation because I could totally see a situation where the Jets jump out early. They just cannot run the ball and Ajayi gets like 13 carries.
Yeah.
And just doesn't have any success.
I could almost see that situation happening more than the Dolphins building a big lead and having Ajayi get 25 carries. And that's what they'd like to do, right, is own that time of possession.
Oh, I could definitely see the Dolphins wiping the floor with the Jets. I think
totally
they're
agree.
Better.
I think Ajayi is going to have another big day. Not 200 yards, but I think he's going to be
over 100.
He'll be around 100, 100 in touchdown.
Why are that you so confident?
Because that offensive line's good.
Okay. Yeah, but that Jets defensive line is good.
What would
too.
We be saying about Dallas if this was Dallas versus Jets? About Ezekiel Elliott.
You think it's really
the exact same?
Comparable?
We'd be more confident in Ezekiel Elliott than we would Ajayi.
I think
Ajayi.
That's where this Dolphins offensive line is, and I think that Ajayi is right there.
Wow.
Oh.
Right. He's not as talented as Ezekiel Elliott, but I think that offensive line is as talented as Dallas.
I think it's really good. There's a lot of really good talent. You're right about that. But I think there's a big difference between trusting Ezekiel Elliott in a situation like this versus trusting Jay Ajayi. And like he said, it doesn't really matter. You're going to need to have studs at running back to have a tough call here with Ajayi.
Yeah. Devontae Booker or Ajayi?
I got Booker ranked ahead of him.
I've got Ajayi ahead of him, but I don't feel good about it. I thought that Hank Goldberg made a really good point on our show on Sunday about the Jets. And as far as the Dolphins wiping the floor with the Jets, they played just a murderous schedule.
Who?
So far this season, the Jets.
Yeah.
Like almost every team they've played is going to be a playoff team. And they finally got a break last week and it didn't look great against the Browns, but they won. I don't know that they're as bad as their early season performance would lead you to believe.
But who have the Dolphins lost to? They've lost at Seattle, at New England, at Cincinnati. The only one that's kind of bad is home against Tennessee.
And they almost lost to Cleveland. And Tennessee's turned out to be a pretty good team.
They both almost lost to Cleveland.
That's right.
Yeah. Cleveland's really good at almost beating bad teams.
If the NFL played only 30 minutes, the Browns would have some wins.
And well, look, Miami's also not going to get credit for the Pittsburgh game as much as they should because Roethlisberger got hurt.
And the defense was banged up for Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, but they knocked Roethlisberger out. They played well against the Steelers when Roethlisberger was playing. Well, it doesn't matter. You know what? Glad we got that out of the way. Let's move on to the next one. The Oakland passing game against the Denver defense. I'm going to throw one thing out at you here. Because I saw the who you like and who you don't, and you guys don't like Amari Cooper and you don't like Michael Crabtree. Last week, Aqib Talib did not play. It does not look right now like he's going to play this week. Travis Benjamin scored 10 fantasy points in standard leagues. Dontrell Inman scored 7 fantasy points. So that's 17 combined for the top 2 receivers. That ties for the most by 2 wide receivers against Denver all year. Going back to week 1 where Kelvin Benjamin had 15 and Ted Ginn had 2 fantasy points. So, also, Philip Rivers did throw the most amount of passes against Denver in any game last week, going in this entire season. But I guess my point is, without Aqib Talib, if he doesn't play, does that make you more confident in Crabtree and Cooper and Derek Carr?
Yes, but we don't know that Aqib Talib's not going to play.
Right, and
he was last minute inactive last Sunday.
I think that would make me feel better about Crabtree, who I feel better about anyway, just because I think Cooper and Chris Harris is the marquee matchup, and that's what we're going to end up seeing. And Harris has done such a great job of shutting down these guys, or pretty shutting down everybody.
Would you start Anton Smith over Cooper or Crabtree?
Yes.
I would do it over Cooper for sure. PPR, I might lean on Crabtree.
See, I know Harris is going to cover Cooper primarily. I don't think he'll cover him on every single snap. And I just, I don't think either one of these receivers is going to have the type of game where it's 8 catches for 80 yards and that's how they're good. It's going to take a big play. Cooper's more likely to, I think I'd rather start Cooper than Crabtree. He's more likely to make the big play.
But I already know that Crabtree is the preferred target in the red zone.
No, Roberts is the preferred target in the red zone.
He might be in this game just because he's playing in the slot, and I think that's where the Raiders have to attack, is in the middle of the field. And I think they have to try and run the ball well, too.
I'm not sure if the Raiders get in the red zone.
Okay, well, that wouldn't be good for either guy. I mean, look, but yeah, to your point, yes, Cooper can make one big play.
I would take my chances on Smith just because there's a strong enough sample size of the two meetings last year about how bad these guys did against the Broncos.
And forget about last year. Look at how receivers have done this year.
Yeah.
The
well,
stud
that goes
receivers
saying,
against
but,
Denver.
But if Talib is out, the gamble is if Talib plays or not. Because if Talib is in, you should stay away from Crabtree and Cooper for sure.
Yeah.
But if Talib is out, that's the gamble. If Talib is out, that changes things a little bit and it makes them a little bit more vulnerable. Although Roby is still, you know, he'd be a number one corner on most teams. So I think it's still a tough situation for them. But it's not even promising, though. I mean, Travis Benjamin had a ridiculous touchdown catch. It was, he had to go up and
it was tipped.
Huh?
It was tipped
by him.
I thought he tipped it.
He tipped it to himself.
No, I thought a receiver. I thought one of the defensive backs was Denver.
He was in the clear.
And to be clear, like we're saying, stay away from Amari Cooper. But we all three have him ranked in our top 25 wide receivers. But the bye weeks, you probably can't. If you have to start, you may have to start him as a flip.
But at least we're giving some options, like,
right?
You could probably find some names like. Stephon Diggs. I'm looking at all three
Quincy
of our rankings.
Nunua.
We have him. Quincy Enunwa is another one. Moncrief.
If you've been benching Michael Thomas rankings, all this way.
Jordan Matthews. Do you have Matthews ahead or behind Cooper? So Jordan Matthews is another name.
Okay,
Mike
cool.
Mike Wallace is another.
Yep. Let's go to Sharkhandrick West. Heath, he's the most added player in CBSSports.com leagues. He's facing Jacksonville. If Spencer Ware does not play, and Spencer Ware has not been cleared from the concussion protocol yet, start or sit, Sharkhandrick West.
Oh, I think you're probably starting him. And I've got him 13th in my running back rankings. I'd rather start him over guys like Gore, who you kind of asked me about earlier, Terrence West, Latavius Murray. But I'm not starting him over the Jonathan Stewart, Devontae Booker, Jay Ajayi types.
Okay. What about Cooper and Crabtree? You're starting West over them, right?
Definitely starting West over Cooper and Crabtree.
Okay.
This is just another example of opportunity, meaning more than talent.
Gotcha.
And the opportunity is there for an acceptable running back to go off against a defense that doesn't travel well. And by the way, they've allowed 6 touchdowns to running backs in their last 4 games. So that's what makes West alluring more than anything else.
Now, before we get into who you guys like and dislike this week in the AFC home games, I'm going to go through the rest of the news and notes. And I want you guys, as I mentioned a name, I just want you to tell me quickly how you feel about this player. Odell Beckham, still not 100%, still dealing with that hip injury facing the Eagles. How do you feel about Beckham?
Nervous, but I feel obligated to start him.
Corey Coleman expected to play this week, and Terrell Pryor missed practice yesterday. I think you guys all have him ranked, and you expect Pryor to play and Coleman to play. How do you feel about those two guys?
I like them.
Both number 2 wide receivers. I'm not as excited about Coleman in his first game back.
I don't have Coleman in my top 24, but Coleman's I do have Pryor. Right. Because it's his first game. But there's definite boom bust potential with him. And I think Pryor's
it's
pretty
also the,
safe.
The quarterback and who's going to actually be the guy there. It sounds like it's going to be Cody Kessler. If it was McCown, I'd be more excited about these guys. But Kessler, he's been up and down.
Kessler's done a good job finding Terrell Pryor. I believe all of Pryor's receiving touchdowns have come from Kessler.
Yeah, Barnage has actually been better with Kessler, too, for what that's worth.
Mm-hmm. And Kessler's, if you watch the games, he's the better quarterback. He's just not as gunslingy.
Travis Benjamin, sprained PCL. Hunter Henry missed practice. Do you think they will play?
I think Henry will. I am not sure on Travis Benjamin.
Julius Thomas did not practice, but he is expected to play. He's got a very tough matchup at Kansas City. Philadelphia left guard Alan Barber seems unlikely to play, but they probably are getting their defensive tackle Benny Logan back. Detroit cornerback Darius Slay has a chance to play at Minnesota, so that might affect your ranking of Stephon Diggs. We will talk about that game tomorrow. And the Saints
Slay may play. Is that what you're saying?
Slay may play. What do you say? Lay by the bay. The Saints should get Delvin Bro, their cornerback, and defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins back this week at San Francisco. So hooray! And do you expect the following players? Steve Smith against Pittsburgh?
No.
No.
Randall Cobb against the Colts?
Not as of now. Yes, as of now? Because he's practicing again?
Yeah, I think he'll play.
Jerick McKinnon against Detroit.
Leaning that way.
He talked up like he was going to be available to play, and then he didn't practice on Wednesday, so maybe they're giving him just an extra day's rest.
And Russell Shepard tonight.
No, he's doubtful.
All right, guys. I love a product that's confident in its quality. I love a company that will give you something for free because it knows that once you try it, you'll be hooked. That's awesome for customers. Harry's Razors is doing just that. Go to harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com. We have an offer code for a special deal. The offer code is FFT. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they're going to send you their popular free trial set, which is a razor, five-blade cartridge, and shaving gel, all free when you sign up for a shave plan. All you got to do is pay for shipping. And with that offer code FFT at checkout, you get a post-shave balm added to your order for free. So all you do is pay for shipping. You get the razor, the five-blade cartridge, shaving gel. And with that offer code FFT, I know I'm repeating myself, but I want you to understand how great this offer is. You get the shave balm. All for free. Just give it a shot. You know, Dave, you and I actually talk off the air about, because we've been using Harry's razors religiously. We talk about it's a quality shave.
It is. Jamie, feel my face.
No.
Feel it. I shaved this morning.
No.
I shaved this morning using a Harry's razor. It feels just as soft, if not softer, than it does with any of the other razors I've used before. And I'm saving a ton of money with it.
Is it like as soft as a baby's butt?
Well, here, feel my face, Heath. Be a man.
I would do it.
Be a man and feel my face. He's doing it.
Oh, he's doing it. Wow, that
soft,
is
right?
Super soft.
Like a baby's butt.
In all seriousness, is a very close, comfortable shave.
It is.
It's going to be better than what you're used to. And it saves you so much money. So please try Harry's. Ships right to your door. The offer code again is FFT on harrys.com. You'll get that post-shave balm to go along with the free trial set. All you need to do is pay for shipping. Harrys.com, the offer code is FFT. Two you like and two you don't. Start with Dave's two. He likes Emmanuel Sanders at Oakland and Terrell Pryor against Dallas. Go ahead, Dave.
Emmanuel Sanders at Oakland is intriguing to me for a couple of reasons. Number one, you really don't have a choice because there are so many receivers. They either have bad matchups or hurt or on bye that if you've got a guy like Emmanuel Sanders and you've been struggling with using him week after week, you're going to use him anyway, because of what he's capable of doing. But the Raiders pass defense, they've allowed multiple scores to a quarterback in five games. So receivers are certainly catching a bunch of those touchdowns. They are tied for the most 20-yard pass plays allowed with 33. Oh. And they lead the league in 40-yard pass plays allowed with 10. And that's what you're kind of hoping for here from these Denver receivers, both Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders, is that they catch a pass, they break a tackle, they go to the house. And I think this is just the kind of matchup where everybody in Denver could have a good game. Booker, everybody's starting. Thomas, everybody's starting. I think Emmanuel Sanders is going to have a good game as well. Flipping over to Cleveland, even with Cody Kessler under center, I think the Browns are going to try and take advantage of that Cowboys secondary. They're without their starting safety. They're without one of their starting cornerbacks. They're going to put Orlando Scandrick in a spot that he's not used to being in. And I think Terrell Pryor is going to line up against him. And I think Terrell Pryor can have an even bigger game than what we saw last week. I feel more confident probably than these guys do about Terrell Pryor this week in fantasy. I think he's pretty much a must start.
Well, who do you like better, Pryor or Sanders?
Let me check my rankings just to make sure, because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Okay.
I like them both. They're both in my top 24. I believe they're both in my top 20. I do have Pryor at 14 and Sanders at 17.
Okay. And Heath is actually the highest on the Broncos wide receivers. He has both of them in his top 12. You know, I was going to say.
Where do you have Simeon?
Yeah, that's what I just, as soon as he said that, I thought, that doesn't make a lot of sense because I think I've got Simeon about 20th.
Who do you have Simeon behind right now?
The 19 other quarterbacks.
Okay, but you don't know, like Kaepernick or Simeon?
I'm starting Simeon over Bortles.
I've got Kaepernick ahead of Simeon. Okay. Maybe I could move Bortles behind him. I don't think, I can't imagine I'm going to start Simeon over Rivers.
I don't want to start Simeon.
I'm not going to start Simeon over Carr.
No, I think that's tough to
Rivers, though. I would say Rivers. Rivers would do well.
Not Rivers, Stafford.
Oh.
I was thinking of the two that I'd really downgraded.
Yeah.
But I also think there's a way for those wide receivers with the landscape of wide receiver this week to be top 12 guys, 10 to 12
range. That's true. That's true.
And Simeon still not be that great.
That's been the case a lot.
He's got to have touchdowns.
Yeah. Simeon has not been very good at all. It's one game with more than 15 fantasy points. Sanders, by the way, leads the NFL, according to profootballreference.com, leads the NFL in red zone targets. He's actually tied for the lead, but he's solo in the lead. That's well said, Adam. Targets inside the 10-yard line, and only three touchdowns so far. So let's hope that number comes up. Jamie, you like Sharkhandrick, West against Jacksonville, and Quincy Enunwa at Miami.
Yeah, I mean, West, clearly, if he gets the starting job there, he's going to get a lot of work. And we saw it last year in the four games where he had 16 or more touches. He got you double digits in fantasy points in every format. So I think if they lean on him, we've seen it enough from the Chiefs that whether it's Jamal Charles or Spencer Ware or Sharkhandrick West over the last 2 years, that guy can be good. And I don't buy into Jacksonville's defense traveling into Kansas City and stopping their running game, especially after what happened to them last Thursday night when they couldn't stop the Tennessee running game. Enunwa has just been very good the last 2 weeks, and you saw last week that Ryan Fitzpatrick not afraid to lean on him. 11 targets. I'd like to see him do a little bit more if he's going to continue to get 11 targets, because the catch ratio not exactly great, but the Dolphins secondary is not very good. So he's been outproducing Brandon Marshall. I don't know how long that will continue, especially after Brandon Marshall ran his mouth yesterday about his time in Miami. So we'll see if he, you know, gets the squeaky wheel treatment after, you know, being quiet the last couple of games. But I still think that Enunwa, based on the week that we're having, I would start him with a lot of confidence over both Raiders guys, for example.
Okay. Let me just say this about Quincy Enunwa, or am I saying it about Brandon Marshall? You decide. The Dolphins, now they've struggled against number one receivers. They have not allowed more than 7 fantasy points all year to a second wide receiver. Does that scare you at all?
Wait, now I want to clarify what exactly you mean by that.
Sure.
Like the team's number one coming into that game, or you're just saying the best... They don't give up good games to two receivers
in
the same game.
The second best wide receiver in that particular week against the Dolphins has not scored more than 7 fantasy points.
The only counter I would have to that is, and I don't know if I'm as high on Enunwa as Jamie is. I've got him right kind of as a borderline number two, 22-23 range. But the Jets have not been good at all against the slot, or the Dolphins have not. So I think both of these have a pretty good opportunity there.
I've got another counter. Look at who the Dolphins have
played. I was just about to say, I'm looking at the list of receivers who the number two guy has been. And for the most part, the second guy hasn't exactly seen a lot of targets. Like week one, if you want to say that, I mean, Kirsten Lockett, the second guy there, you know, it's kind of moot point at this point, but 7 targets for Kirst, 8 targets for Lockett. The Patriots, you know, that was without Brady, so is that really a fair comparison?
Well, Garoppolo carved them up, and then he got hurt, right?
Yeah, but they did that with the tight ends, and so, you know, Edelman had 7 for 76.
All right, look, so we can throw it out. That's cool. I just want to bring it up.
I think it's worth noting, but I don't know if they've had two guys, like, challenge them. I mean, you know, the Steelers could have been really good, but that was the game that Coates hurt his finger, and Roethlisberger got hurt, and Antonio Brown didn't do anything. Buffalo, they don't have a good receiving core.
Would you start Enunwa over Mark Ingram?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and PPR I would for sure.
I would in PPR, not standard.
Would you start Enunwa over Todd Gurley?
No.
In PPR, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Heath, you like Mike Wallace. As we don't expect Steve Smith right now. Mike Wallace against Pittsburgh, and you like the Dolphins wide receivers against those Jets.
Mike Wallace has had a really weird year. You look at the start of his year when he was scoring touchdowns, and we didn't think it was sustainable because two of those games he had 41 and 34 yards. He was only getting 6 targets a game for his first 3 games. Hasn't scored a touchdown in his last 5 games, but he's got 9, 11, 9, and 13 targets. Targets have skyrocketed. Last 2 games he's got 97 yards, 120 yards, especially if Ben plays and the Ravens are going to be chasing the scoreboard. I love Wallace without Smith. I've got him as a borderline number two. I actually like him just a little bit more than Pryor.
Wow.
I would start him even if Roethlisberger doesn't play.
I'm going to start him.
If Smith is out, that's the key.
Yeah. He's been great. He's been very good the last 2 weeks with Steve Smith out. So makes total sense.
I think there's a safe floor with him of 80 yards.
Well, if he's getting that many targets, yeah.
Well, but the problem is he's had a lot of targets in some games, and he hasn't come close to 80 yards. And this is a Steelers defense that doesn't allow a lot of touchdowns, just in general, to receivers.
Heath.
Yes.
Which Dolphins receiver? Rank the 3 of them.
Well, that's really easy at the start. Jarvis Landry is well ahead of the other two.
Right.
I expect him to have a very nice game.
Yeah, I love Landry this week.
He's the one guy that I think is not game script dependent. We've talked a lot this week about can Ajayi run against the Jets. I don't know that that matters for Jarvis Landry. I think he has a good game regardless. Stills and Parker are more, they could have really big games if Ajayi can't run very well and the Dolphins really have to turn the pass game. I've got Stills just a little bit ahead of Parker. I think Parker's better, but he's not showing it. So I don't see a situation really where Parker and Stills are both good. I've got them both ranked as number 3/flex receivers. One of them's going to be good. You probably don't have both on your roster anyway, but I've got Stills just a little bit ahead of Parker.
Could that be just because you know that Stills can make it happen on one play and Parker just doesn't seem to be that type of guy?
I mean, yes, it's because we've seen Stills make it on one play.
How many times have we seen Parker?
Right.
Make it?
Parker's just
once
not
or twice.
Not, he's not living up to his potential right now.
Yeah.
All right, guys. And, would you start, let's say Stills or Parker, whoever you own, over a Minnesota running back?
If McKinnon plays, yes.
Okay. If not, you'd go Asiata.
Right.
Two you don't like. Heath does not like Derek Carr against Denver. Let's talk about who you're starting. And you don't like Josh McCown, but he might not play anyway. Let's talk about who you're starting over Derek Carr.
I'm starting Tannehill. I'm starting Kaepernick. I'm starting... I think Dak's obvious. Eli's obvious. I would still start Russell Wilson over him.
Okay. Carr's around 15th for you guys. Since Cam Newton scored 22 fantasy points in week one against Denver with a rushing touchdown, no quarterback has scored more than 16. That's Luck, Dalton, Ryan, Phillip Rivers twice. It is on the road, and you know, that helps, but I understand people aren't that confident in Carr this week. Sorry, I want to speed it up a little bit so we can get to the games. Jamie doesn't like Amari Cooper or Michael Crabtree this week. I think we've covered that. And Dave does not like, he has Amari Cooper, but also Jeremy Maclin against Jacksonville. How come you don't like Jeremy Maclin?
I just can't get around on Maclin. I know the last week he scored. He still had 10 fantasy points. I feel like that's his ceiling. I think Jacksonville's corners are still okay. And I think this is a game where Kansas City can, I think they might unveil Tyreek Hill a little bit more after what he did last week and put that speed to work. I think Kelsey showed them some flashes last week. And if they want to try and throw downfield, it doesn't have to be Maclin that they go to. I think he's just their possession receiver more than anything else. So I don't think there's a high ceiling on Maclin.
Okay. Sounds good, Dave. And Denver at Oakland is the first game we're going to start with Sunday night. What a big game for the Oakland Raiders. I mean, how awesome is this?
It's cool. It's always good for the NFL when the Raiders are relevant.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, they're not exactly like the Cubs, but they've got their unique tried and true fan base. Those guys are all over the country rooting on for their Raiders, whether they're in it or out of it, and they've been out of it for so long. So having them in it makes it a little more exciting. And this is such a great rivalry too.
Yeah. Oh, the AFC West has great rivalries. But All right, which quarterback do you like better in this game?
It's Carr because you trust him.
Yeah,
he's got that potential to have a big game.
Well,
even though it's a tough matchup, you really can't see it. But even in a great matchup for Simeon, we clearly don't trust him enough to put him over Carr in our rankings.
I just, like, who are the playoff teams that the Raiders have played this year?
That's the whole impetus behind why Carr shouldn't be considered, like, an MVP candidate or anything like that. Like, he's great for fantasy because he's taken advantage of great matchups. But what about the games that he's played against playoff-caliber defenses?
That's
one. Oh, he should be an MVP candidate. He shouldn't win.
Right. They've played one game against a playoff-caliber defense, and they scored 10 points at home.
But you have to give them some credit for playing as many games on the road as they have. I mean, that's not easy.
That's true. And maybe the Ravens, the Ravens defense is probably good. I don't know how banged up it was at that point, but I just kind of feel like the Broncos might just steamroll them.
No way.
Oh, I think the Broncos steamroll them easily, but I think that's
no way.
Why no way?
I don't think the Broncos are that good, honestly.
I don't know. Defensively, they're great.
Defensively, they're tremendous, but so are the Vikings. But I think they have a bad quarterback. I mean,
Oh, they do. For sure.
You know, and I think this is the biggest game in years for the Raiders. I think they're going to win. I'm calling it right now. Sorry, Raiders fans. Raiders are winning this week.
They're cringing.
I just don't. Arrow. Who are the Broncos going to steamroll? I just, with that offense, I don't see it.
I think they can force turnovers with that defense.
They can win this game 17-3. And make it look really ugly.
I don't know if it's going to be 17-3. It could be something like 20-10, and that could still be an ugly game. But I don't know where the Raiders' defense is going to get some stops.
I'm going to call it no touchdowns for the Raiders.
No, I think
they can get one.
Zero.
They can get one touchdown. I'm real curious to see what type of a game plan they come up with. Because I think Carr, if they really do try and lean on their tight ends and their running backs and try and find those easier matchups against the Broncos, then maybe Carr can get close to 300 yards. It's those touchdowns that worry me.
By the way, this game is a pick 'em, so you guys should probably bet on the Broncos. But Latavius Murray, talk to me about Latavius Murray and how you would compare it. Let's say Latavius Murray or Charcandrick West this week.
West. Easy.
It's not really close.
West. Okay.
Tavius Murray or Tim Hightower? They get harder as we go along.
Murray.
I would go Murray because of the uncertainty.
Right.
And the Broncos haven't allowed a touchdown to a running back in three straight games. And that's like what Latavius is all about at this point. If he doesn't score, you're looking at 60 to 70 total yards.
They need to run the ball well for them to have a chance.
60 to 70 yards might be a top 15 running back this week.
I hope not.
I feel like running back is a little different than receiver. I think there's going to be some decent play there.
Yeah, we might not know who, but...
Right, yeah, that's the thing.
All right, so that's Murray. I think we've talked enough about the Raiders wide receivers. They're, you know, borderline number two to number three wide receivers. Let's go over to the Broncos and Trevor Siemian. No, he's around 20th in the rankings. Devontae Booker, though. Heath, you're too low on Devontae Booker. You got him 11th.
I would like to see him, like, live up to what we were expecting. He didn't do it last week. And so I'm not just going to automatically put him as a top 10 running back.
Fair. He had 24
touches. If he didn't get a shoulder injury, though, do you think he would have lived up to it?
I don't know, but is his shoulder better?
Oh, that's a fair point. I just think that there's, given the week, given the matchup, given the role that he has, I'd be shocked if he's not a top 10 guy.
Well, you're starting him.
11th, so it's like...
I'm not saying about your ranking. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it'd be surprising if he's not great given the week.
San Diego allows 3.8 yards per carry. Oakland allows 4.8 yards per carry. Those are the last week's opponent and this week's opponent for Devontae Booker. So let's hope we get a little bit more out of him. Anything else to say about Demaryius Thomas and Sanders? I mean, would you rather start Thomas or... Well, actually, before we get to that, do you expect a big game from Thomas or Sanders? Dave, you kind of made the case for Sanders. Does anybody expect, like, big production, finally wide receiver one production from these guys?
I don't think I can expect it. I just think it's safe for them to be around 10 fantasy points each.
Yeah, I don't expect typical wide receiver one performance, but one of them is probably going to be a wide receiver one this week.
And they've kind of just missed on like a bunch of big plays or just touchdowns, you know, and at some point it's going to connect. And they, you know, I mean, San Diego, give them credit. That's two times in the last 3 weeks. That's tough for any team to face both ways. One of those was a Thursday night. I think at some point they're gonna have like that Cincinnati game again, where they let Siemian throw 30 plus times and it falls into good production. And this could easily be one of those weeks.
It's gonna be Sunday.
I actually think it's gonna be next week they play at New Orleans.
Could be that too.
I think that's gonna be the game where that happens.
All right, fellas.
That's not a bad. You've been talking about this a lot, Adam, about the quarterbacks on a bye next week. If you have an open roster spot, it might not be a bad idea to pick up Siemian now, because if he does play well against Oakland, it's gonna be much tougher to get him for that game against New Orleans.
Yeah, totally. Except I brought that up the other day.
That's a great call. I've got Andrew Luck in so many leagues.
Yeah, I brought that up the other day. Except I said Brock Osweiler because for some reason I think he's still on the Broncos. Virgil Green is about 16th in standard, and I think Heath is the lowest on Virgil Green. But if you're desperate for a tight end, Oakland's allowed 5 touchdowns to tight ends, and Green had 6 targets last week. And start the Denver DST. No team goes into the season without a game plan, guys. If they did, the game day highlights would be nothing more than a football follies compilation. We all love those. Follies are hilarious. But Buffalo Wild Wings knows that fans prefer the taste of glory on game day. The kind of glory that comes with having 21 signature sauces and seasonings to choose from, or a great lineup of cold and refreshing beers on tap, or a collection of wall-to-wall flat screens so big it would make your head spin. We cover all of those details so they add up to the kind of game day experience fans can appreciate. And we do it because we appreciate fans. So win or lose, if you're a fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere there is. Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. We do it for you because you're a football fan. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. The Ravens swept this series last year. Of course, Roethlisberger missed one game, but Flacco missed one game as well. First question, let's start with the Ravens. You don't trust Joe Flacco. How about Terrence West? As the looks like Cameron Hayward is on track to return for Pittsburgh. You trust Terrence West this week?
I think it's one of those things where it's a running back who should still get 15-plus touches. His offensive line's getting healthy, and he's coming off of a bye. So by default, he's a starter.
Well, but you could argue that he's a great start because Pittsburgh's been terrible against running backs as they've been injured. Should get healthier this week.
Right, though. But having Hayward back is a big plus.
Baltimore's had four games in a row against Pittsburgh where running backs got 100 total yards or a touchdown. So it's been Forsett one. Javoris Allen had one. I forget what the other two were, but they have a good track record here running with success against Pittsburgh defense.
I don't like West as much if Ben plays.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you trust Ben Roethlisberger, guys?
It's not a typical spot where you would feel comfortable with him because on the road, that's where he's been at his worst, you know, in the last couple of years. And coming off an injury, if I can avoid him, I would.
But
I would start Dak over him. I would start – the one I'm struggling with is Eli. Hmm. Mariota, I start over him. Both guys tonight, I start over him.
Winston. Okay. Yeah.
We talked about Mike Wallace. So what if Steve Smith plays?
I'm still probably starting Wallace, but not feeling good about it. And yeah. I'm not taking a chance on Smith.
Yeah, no way.
You guys have Dennis Pitta in your top 12, top 10 in PPR. Yeah, one game all season with more than 5 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. Is it just because he's a tight end in a bi-nato week?
Yep.
Okay. Would you start Pitta or Hooper?
Pitta.
Hooper.
Dave, can you say it like Jaws?
How do you say it again?
Hooper!
One more time?
No, that's all right. I think you got it by now. Would you start Ladarius Green over Dennis Pitta if Green plays?
Not in PPR, but probably in standard, just for the upside.
Is he going to play?
I don't know.
No one has any idea.
Okay. Le'Veon Bell, top 3 running back in both formats. You're going to start Antonio Brown. Are you going to start any other Steeler?
I think if you're in a major pinch, Darius Heyward-Bey is the type of, well, he might give me no points, but he might give me 10.
More than Coates?
If Coates is out, did Coates practice fully yesterday?
I believe
he's on the injury report.
I don't think he's even on the injury report, but they're saying that Darius Heyward-Bey is the new starter.
Give me a break. Coates is so much better than Darius Heyward-Bey. I mean, come on. I'm not saying you're wrong, Dave. I'm saying, like, give me a break.
Well, the fact that you said come on is a good argument, so.
Thank you. No, it's not that what you said is wrong. It's that if I'm going to eat, all right, fine. Starting is one thing, but if I'm just going to own one, I think you all agree.
That's fair. Yes. Look, I don't want to start Darius Heyward-Bey, and Coates is not on the injury report.
Okay. But you don't want to start Coates this week? I mean, it's kind of interesting. Baltimore,
if you're stuck, that's a good guy to take a flyer on. He's a good daily play option, too.
Okay.
Better than Heyward-Bey?
I would rather play Coates than Heyward-Bey.
100% better than Heyward-Bey.
Tennessee at San Diego. Starter sit Marcus Mariota. Would you go with Mariota or Roethlisberger?
Mariota.
Roethlisberger.
Interesting. You guys like Mariota this week? Feel good about it?
Yeah. I mean, he's been playing well. I think this is a game where he could find some success with the receiving corps starting to take shape a little bit. You know, you've seen Kendall Wright to the last 3 games. What the targets have been there for him. He's played well. I think Delanie Walker scores in this game. I think he'll run a little bit. You've seen guys that have had success against San Diego quarterback-wise. There's 2 that have had at least 3 points from their legs. So he can get back to doing that. I think Tennessee's going to give up points in this game, so I think he's going to have to throw.
Okay. Tennessee, they probably will give up points, and we'll talk about that when we get to Phillip Rivers. You're starting DeMarco Murray. He's a top 3 running back. All right, Derrick Henry, you guys have as a number 3 running back. You would not start him over a Saints guy, right?
No.
Unless there's word that one of them is going to get the majority of touches.
Right.
Like if you say that Ingram's benched, then yes, I'd start him over Ingram.
And if the Chargers do keep the game competitive, I'm not sure Derrick Henry is going to be valuable. He might go back to being 5-6 touches.
Or if the Titans keep it competitive.
The only The only thing well that, said. The only thing that I think will benefit Henry is if Murray's not 100%. Because if Murray goes out there in pregame and, you know, his toe doesn't feel right, and then they give him a couple series, he doesn't look right. This is the riskiest it's been in a long time for DeMarco Murray, just because of
since last year.
How healthy is he?
Would you start Derrick Henry over any San Diego wide receiver, or are you okay with the San Diego wide receivers?
I would do it over Benjamin, just because I don't know how much he's going to play. You know, like if you're in a league where you set your lineup on Thursdays, and that's it.
But if Benjamin's out, I think Tyrell Williams is a must-start over him.
Oh, I like Tyrell Williams regardless, because I think Tyrell Williams is going to have an opportunity to play well here. Mm-hmm. I've actually struggled just with Tyrell Williams versus Amari Cooper right now. And if Benjamin's out, I would take Tyrell Williams easily.
Yeah,
but he's also not 100%, so that's part of the reason. Like, I picked up Dontrell Edmond in a bunch of, like, deep leagues just to see what happens over the next couple weeks with Benjamin. But, I mean, you know, that's what's part of the reason is what's killed Tyler Lockett's year is this PCL injury. And he's tried to play through it. And now Benjamin has this PCL injury. And we don't know what his status is going to be. I'd be surprised if he played at this point.
Like, Williams and Benjamin, neither one have practiced yet.
Yeah, but that's typical. Yeah, like, past week or two. I think it's been like that. Williams, they both miss a day.
Yeah, they did not look. I'm struggling with them because they did not, like, Williams did not look good. Benjamin is clearly hurt. I will not start Henry over any Chargers receiver that fully practices Friday. How about
Derrick Henry? And yes. Okay, so we'll revisit this tomorrow. But what about Kendall Wright? Which wide receivers are your favorite in this game?
Tyrell Williams right now.
But is Wright just you're counting on one big play?
I think if they have to throw, then he could be more involved. But for whatever reason, it's Mike Mularkey. He's just weird. He's not committing to Kendall Wright as their best guy.
No, he's leaning on the run as much as he can.
No, but even so, like when after Thursday night's game, he said,
he's a great slot
situational
receiver,
player
right.
for us.
Well, I think the problem is it's tough to play exotic smash mouth football with three receivers. And they pretty much only play him as a third receiver in the slot.
Okay.
Get Tajay Sharpe.
Kendall Wright or Michael Crabtree?
Crabtree.
I would go Crabtree.
I would go Crabtree, but it's close.
Kendall Wright or Darren Sproles?
Sproles.
Yep.
Okay. You love Phillip Rivers this week. You know, Phillip Rivers had three good games this season, but this is a pretty good matchup, right? The last three quarterbacks to face Tennessee have thrown for 330 or more yards. That's Kessler, Luck, and Bortles. So is it confidence in Rivers, or is it confidence in the matchup, or is it both? You tell me.
It's both. I think you look at him coming back home. That's a good situation for him. It's interesting. You know, just looking at Tennessee's offense, they played three straight home games against really bad teams. So we'll see. And I'm not saying San Diego's a great team, but this is their first time in a month that they're on the road.
For the Titans. Have you noticed how many three-game homestands there
are? There's a lot this year.
Weird. Yeah. Weird.
And the Dolphins, I think, had four. Dolphins or Packers had four in a row.
I think the Raiders have a month at home coming up, too.
The Dolphins are in the middle of their four.
Right.
They're at the end, yeah.
The Packers are just finished.
Yeah.
Prior to last week.
All right, Melvin Gordon. You guys like Melvin Gordon? Melvin Gordon, top five. Top five in standard, top six in PPR. Phillip Rivers is fifth for Jamie, second for Dave. Sixth for Heath. So you guys like him a lot. Would you start Rivers or outdoor Drew Brees?
Brees.
I'll go Rivers because I'm worried Brees might not throw as much. He might not have to throw
as
much. Have
you met Drew Brees?
I've met him. He throws plenty, and I'm still starting him. But you know how bad that run defense is. I think the Saints could end up running a lot on San Francisco.
Give me your take on the San Diego tight ends.
Gates is the one to start.
He's looking better by the minute. As Hunter Henry can't practice.
Yeah, Henry's banged up. Knee, he had a concussion a couple weeks back. The coach said as much. And last week he ran, I think, less than half as many routes as Gates. Now, to be fair, Henry also had two end zone targets. So Rivers is looking for him down there. But they like him just as much for his blocking as they do his pass catching. And Gates looks like he's running a route almost every time he's out there.
Gates has 19 targets in two games. That speaks volumes.
Henry's got four.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would consider Henry if Benjamin's out, just because I don't know if they have a third receiver. He may have to play more in the slot if he's healthy.
Gates or Virgil Green.
Gates.
Gates is a top 10 guy this week.
All right, fine. Gates or Jack Doyle.
Gates.
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 All right, Jets at Miami, guys. We got three games left, and we got like 5 minutes. So here we go. This one's easy. We talked a lot about Jay Ajayi. Tell me about Matt Forte. Do you like Matt Forte?
Yeah, you can run on Miami.
Yeah, he's only...
I'm sorry. He's a volume guy. He needs a lot of volume to be successful, and I think they'll try as much as they can to give it to him.
Jonathan Stewart or Matt Forte?
Forte.
Okay. Todd Gurley or Matt Forte?
Forte.
I honestly think that's it. Jets DST. Heath has a Jets DST fifth, and the Dolphins allow the fifth most fantasy points to opposing DSTs. That's bold,
Heath. How
much
of that, though, in the last 2 weeks? Last two games, though?
It's mostly I just don't think Ryan Tannehill's very good.
Oh, Tannehill, by the way. Is he a sneaky starter this week?
100%.
Would you start him over Carr?
Yep.
Yes.
I would try it.
Would you start him over Kaepernick?
Yes.
I would not.
Yes.
Heath likes Kaepernick. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I think we cover the wide receivers in this game. You don't care about the tight ends. Dallas at Cleveland.
You should actually give Heath a chance to talk about Kaepernick since he won't be here tomorrow.
Heath.
Yes.
10 seconds. Kaepernick, go.
Floor, run the ball, ceiling, Saints defense.
Dallas at Cleveland. Dak Prescott is a top 10 quarterback. Obviously, you're starting Dak over Carr. Would you start Dak over Roethlisberger?
Yes.
No.
Dak's our start of the week. I think you look at the track record for Cleveland and what he's done as a starter. It's 100% worth buying into.
I'm probably going to go back and forth on Dak and Roethlisberger like six times before Sunday.
I think there's more upside with Roethlisberger than there is with Dak. Obviously, it's a great matchup for both. If you want to play it safe, Prescott's the way to go.
Yeah, Roethlisberger off an injury does not have a lot of upside.
He's playing the Ravens.
He's playing the Browns.
The Ravens. The Ravens are not a bad defense.
Not when they're when they're healthy there.
All right. Ezekiel Elliott, start him. He's top two. Dez Bryant, start him. He's top eight. Cole Beasley or Jason Witten. Who gets that double-digit fantasy point? It's happened six in eight games against the Browns where two pass catchers have gotten double-digit fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. Is it Beasley this week? Is it Terrence Williams? Is it Jason Witten? Is it nobody? Who do you like in the Dallas passing game?
The one to trust would be Beasley. I don't know if he's going to do it, but I think he can come close.
Beasley in PPR, good. Beasley in standard, again, 6 or 7 points.
What about Isaiah Crowell? Do you like Isaiah Crowell this week?
It's one of those by default guys, right?
BYE default.
Ah.
Crowell or Latavius Murray?
They're the same guy.
Yeah.
I'd take my chances with Murray.
I've got Murray higher.
I'd take my chances with Crowell.
Crowell or Cole Beasley?
Crowell, easily.
Beasley in PPR.
Beasley in PPR.
All right. Dallas, by the way, has seen the second fewest rush attempts per game in the NFL. Only Tennessee has seen fewer. I don't think they have a very good run defense, though. How about Duke Johnson in this game? We talked about Crowell. Duke Johnson in a PPR league, is he better than Latavius Murray?
No.
Yes.
Oh.
I can't buy into him getting 100 total yards 2 weeks in a row.
No, but he's been pretty consistent. That was like a spike in him.
He's had double digits in fantasy points standard two of his last three games. One was because of a touchdown. And then last week against the Jets, he had a 32-yard catch that kind of pushed his numbers up a little bit. So I don't want to trust Duke in non-PPR. But obviously he's going to catch four passes a game. If he gets you 50 yards with it, it's not terrible. 9 fantasy points in a PPR.
Week 6, he was 4 for 56. Week 5, he was, that was a bad game. Week 4 was 6 for 31. Week 7, he was 4 for 18. Last week, 6 for 87. So,
Gary Barnage, top 10 in standard, top 11 in PPR. Has not scored a touchdown, but has been better with Cody Kessler this year. Would you start Gary Barnage or Antonio Gates?
Gates.
Barnage.
Gates standard, Barnage PPR. Without Barry Church there, it's going to be bad for the Cowboys secondary.
Even with Travis Benjamin, if he's out, you would still take Gates behind Barnage in PPR?
Yeah, Gates is just not going to catch a lot of passes.
See, I think he could if Travis Benjamin's not playing.
Maybe. I think if both guys are out, if Benjamin and
Williams are out, yeah, then it makes sense.
Cowboys DST is only 58% owned. They're 13th for Dave and Jamie. They're 6th for Heath. The Browns allow the 7th most fantasy points to opposing DSTs. And in fact, Dallas is the 8th best DST in fantasy points per game so far this year, but of course they are missing two important players. But the Browns, they give up a ton of sacks, and since DeMarcus Lawrence has started playing, the Cowboys have had a better pass rush. So don't be afraid of the Cowboys DST. They're 58% owned. Jacksonville at Kansas City, Allen Robinson. Well, are there any Jaguars that you feel good about?
I think I'm still starting Allen Robinson.
Doesn't mean I feel good about it, though.
No.
No, but he's pretty high on your rankings. I think you guys have him as a like a number one, right? Or close to it.
I have him as a number two.
Number two. That's what he is. He's a boomer bust number two at this point.
He's been number two this year.
Yeah, and we've had three bleeps already on this podcast, so we'll leave it at that. I'll give out some names, Allen Robinson or Isaiah Crowell.
Robinson.
I think the ceiling is higher with Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
And for the record, the drops have been a problem, but he's still working hard and trying. The quarterback, I think, is the much bigger problem.
He's seen a pretty even split of his snaps between the left and right side. So he's not going to have Marcus Peters the whole game.
Right, right, right.
That's the only
they're going to pick and choose. Remember, we've got an offensive coordinator change in Jacksonville as well. I think that they might try the no huddle a little bit more. Bortles might be more comfortable with the no huddle, assuming that they don't go three and out. That would be a decent thing for their offense. And they can, like I said, they can pick and choose their matchups against Kansas City because the Chiefs don't move their cornerbacks around.
Emails, 2 minutes of emails. Jan from San Rafael, California. Flex option in a standard league. Matt Asiata, Tim Hightower, Willie Snead.
I'd go all along the Hightower.
Asiata if McKinnon sits, Snead if McKinnon plays.
Wow, you don't like Hightower at all.
It's uncertainty.
All right, just answers here. Ben from a city in Arizona.
Glendale.
Hi, Kyle.
Oh, wait, that's got to be Yuma for today.
Okay. Kyle, Chris, Anthony, and Ben. Those are Cubs.
From that Davis guy.
If Travis Benjamin's PCL sprain keeps him out, would you rather start Tyreek Hill or Dontrell Inman?
Hill.
I'm going to go Inman.
Inman.
Scott from St. Louis. Assuming Ty Montgomery is active, who would you start in standard? Montgomery, Derrick Henry, Sammy Coates, or Devontae Parker?
Montgomery.
Montgomery.
Al, in a small town in northwestern Wisconsin, grade the trade. Give Kristen Michael, get Mark Ingram.
No.
I'd rather have Michael. I know we're not excited about him, but I'd rather have Michael.
D+.
I think I would have liked it, but all right.
Really? A guy that we're not sure is going to be the lead running back for his team against San Francisco?
I think I just have pretty low expectations for Michael, and I think I would just go get Hightower and lock up the backfield. But okay, no, that's fair. Julian from Cape Coral. Kyle Rudolph or Travis Kelce this week? PPR.
Rudolph.
Kyle.
Kyle. This is from Josh. All right, help Josh out with a trade. We'll end on this. He has Gurley, Gordon, Ware, Booker, and Coleman. Pretty good. He can get either Dez or Beckham. He could do Gurley and Marvin Jones for Dez.
Yes.
Or Gordon and Marvin Jones for Beckham.
The first one.
I think it's a... As of now, it's a slight overpay giving Gurley and Jones for Dez, but if Dez keeps playing well, you'll be so glad
Jones
you made that trade.
Jones is almost cuttable.
Yeah, his value has definitely hit the skids.
All right, so the Dez one?
The Dez one is the better trade.
He's not so sure, but we're going to end the show.
And then get Charkandrick West to take the empty bench spot so you lock up the Chargers back.
He's not on the waiver wire. He's not available.
Trade for him. Trade somebody for him. Josh.
Thank you, guys. Great show. All right, that's it. Cubs win. Goodbye.
Bye.